Hello, everybody, and welcome to 90s Court, episode 51. We are super glad to have you here. And for those of you who maybe don't listen to this show, my name is Andy Clodfilter.
I'm Lisa Monahan.
And we are the co-hosts of a terrific little show we like to call 90s Court. And let me just take you for a quick stroll down 90s Court Lane, and we'll explain what exactly that means. So here on 90s Court, we like to, in a hopefully comedic way, I say hopefully because, you know, maybe you just don't like jokes, and you're
maybe,
just like,
maybe,
I don't understand
maybe you're
these
a dead
jokes.
Person. Yeah.
So we like to bring up two things from the 90s in a court fashion, which will be typically the episode title, and we put them together. We each debate or discuss our things, and then we turn it over to you, the jury, to determine which one is the superior product. Sometimes the most cringeworthy, actually. We've had a few where it's like, which one's the worst? And then we also like to bring you a few little side dishes, some deep, deep nostalgia bugs that are like way back in the corner of your brain that will not probably occur to you as much. But if they do and they hit, you're like, oh my God, I have not thought of that in 25 years. So
I had a lot of that this week. A lot of that.
Sure. So Lisa, why don't you tell me about your life?
My life? I'm going in for like emergency dental work tomorrow. That's exciting. I don't know what's wrong, but like my jaw is in constant pain. So I'm remedying that right now with a Ramos Gin Fizz, which looks like pee pee poo poo water right now because I use date nectar instead of simple syrup, so it looks like pee pee poo poo water.
I found out Lisa was pretty loose, like literally like 5 seconds before we started the episode.
Yeah.
I will say, she doesn't normally. It's been like, I feel like it's been a long time since we had super loose Lisa. So
yeah, this is wonderful. And I'm on drink one, and I just started like 10 minutes ago. So that's how tired I am. But if I have to bail mid podcast to go throw up, it's because the Ramos Gin Fizz that I made has heavy whipping cream, lemon juice, lime juice, and egg white, and gin. So it sounds like I'm making a chemistry experiment in my stomach.
So you're baking a cake and drinking it.
Yes.
While it's cooking.
I'm drinking the uncooked batter.
Yeah, throw some yeast in there.
Yeah, some whole wheat flour.
Absolutely.
So, I'm doing all right. How are you, Andy? I have to say, can I give a quick shout out to you?
Yes.
I spent so much of my week listening to With My Next Pick. That brought me a lot of joy this week. It really did, because I was like, I'm tired of listening to murder stabby people are dead all the time podcasts, and like the With My Next Pick is a huge refresher.
Yeah. I mean, and I go through a cram. I like early on, I went through a cram course and just like pounded out. I think all but like two episodes, just because I was like, I literally don't care. And that's the thing, is there's still good episodes even when you don't know about the thing. But since then, I pretty much listen to everyone. And I will say there is a new podcast from a person that you might know.
Alyssa?
What?
Or are you talking about Alyssa and her?
Nope.
Oh, no. Everyone's got a podcast all of a sudden. It's
so
fantastic.
Kayla from Good Luck Sleeping podcast, which I know you were a fan of. Now has one that she's been like building up for, like she's had it like ready to go. She's just done such a good job of like building, creating like enthusiasm and build up for it. And then she released a bunch of episodes, like three episodes right away.
Dang.
It's called Strikes My Fancy, for any of those out there. And it is a really fun podcast. It's about anything. Sometimes I'll have experts in or just people who are, you know, big fans of the subject.
Okay.
So, my week, just so to tell you, basically consisted of today.
Today.
Which was that football is back. Thursday, I guess, too.
Football.
It's one of these things where, gang, I am not like a huge jockhead who's like, yeah, get her done, like football. But I think it's partially because I love fantasy football so much that like I forget the entire. It's like you go through 8 months and forgetting about how big of a part of your life football plays in it. Mm-hmm. And then when it's back, it's like, oh my gosh, this is everything again. And then you go 8 months and completely forget again, and until you're reminded once again. So, so today was a good day, and Lisa granted me leniency by allowing us to do the podcast later in the evening. So
and now you're paying
time
for it with gin fizz, Lisa.
Now we got
thanks
gin
a lot,
fizz,
Andy.
Lisa. Sipping on gin and fizz.
Before we get into our things, we need to give some shout out. First of all, a huge shout out to Judge Varian, who's a Patreon judge.
Judge
who is
Varian.
the person who actually, as judge level, you get to choose a a theme for an episode, and that was Judge Varian's theme is this week. So Casper, yeah, this is a good one. We worked on it. It's a great episode. I'm excited for it. We also want to give a shout out to Bailiff Jacqueline, Bailiff Afton, Bailiff Vincent, Bailiff Clarissa. So this whole episode, I thought, because you had explain written here, and I thought you were about to like make a joke on Clarissa, and I was like, wait, I can't, I have to actually.
Oh, your thing is explains it all thing, but instead it was, yes. Yeah.
No, so yeah, but anyway, this episode is from, the theme came from our judge, and so we want to give a huge round of applause. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for giving us this theme and working with us to pick something that worked, and we're very excited for it. So without further ado, thank you, Patreons, for your support. And Andy, you are up first in the thing department.
It's time, ladies and gentlemen. I was searching through a bunch of different ones of these, and this was the first one I found, and then I kept looking for more, thinking I was going to do a bunch, and then I just realized, like, this one is so good, I don't need any more.
Okay.
So we have actually covered similar things to this in past. Okay. You may remember a certain episode where we covered a episode of Tiny Toon Adventures.
Oof.
And similar things to that. The 90s, the 80s and the 90s, the 80s were actually bigger with it, but the 90s also had it. Were commercials or TV shows with anti-drug messages or anti-drinking messages or something like that. So I found one that is just fucking fantastic.
Okay.
It is the most random thing ever. I'm going to play it for you because it is 30 seconds so we can get the whole thing in.
Okay.
And then I am going to talk about and break down the entire commercial for everyone. Make sure the volume is all the way up. Okay. Okay.
Can I right off the bat, absolutely drug dealers are dorks. Have you ever met one and been like, that's a really cool guy? No, you're like, man, that person needs to take their suspenders off. Like, 2 plus 2 is 4.
So if you could not tell, that was a commercial with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in them.
The pizza was my tip-off.
Yeah, the tip-off was that. So this is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles anti-drug commercial, and it's the most loosely Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles commercial ever because, like, the main commercial is what it is, but they're just like, let's just cut to some famous things and then go back to them.
See what happens, yeah.
So it starts out as any commercial would, just clearly in a school hallway. Joey, yes. Who is the younger kid who looks like he's probably about 8 years old, is approached by a kid who is probably like 13 years old, as if they are just normal-ass peers. Like, the way that he comes up is like it's like his sketchy friend from the same grade. Like, these fuckers shouldn't even be going to the same school.
Yeah, aren't you in middle school? Your high school friend needs to get back to campus and, like, get out of the middle school. Who let him in here?
Yeah.
Where were the drug dogs?
So this half-grown man then says, pot, you know, marijuana.
Marijuana.
Which would be funny if it weren't for him unfurling his gripped hand to reveal not one, not two, not three, but 4 perfectly wrapped joints. Like,
he's so
fucking
good at it.
Tight ass joints, like, just, and he just had them in his hand, like, at his disposal, and they didn't get crushed or anything in his hand while he was carrying them around before. So evidently this 13-year-old really wants this 8-year-old to smoke weed.
And why? There's got to be some ulterior motives here that, like, I am simply not down with.
I mean, I just, like, to give him basically like an entire fucking joint, or maybe 4 of them, like, that's bad business. Like, if you are selling drugs and you're 13, which is weird to begin with, like,
yeah.
I don't know how many drug dealers there are that are 13, but apparently the Ninja Turtles think he was a drug dealer.
Yeah.
I thought it was just like peer pressure, like, hey, try it with me or something like that. But it doesn't, it doesn't make sense because he's too old and he's not selling drugs to this one random kid.
He's giving it to this 8-year-old. Like, try this. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
Then the trippiest moment was so weird and meta for no reason. So we're in this, like, scene that looks clearly like it's a normal commercial. And all of a sudden the camera zooms out and it's actually been a television that a group of, like, 10 six-year-olds are sitting, like, on a carpet watching. So like even younger kids, like we're like, we got all kinds of kids here. Like we got kids on kids on kids, every age, sitting in front of this, watching this scenario on a TV, all sitting crisscross applesauce. And in true Blue's Clues fashion, suddenly the scene of the weed hallway situation switches to a cartoon ass version of the Ninja Turtles asking these 6-year-old kids what they would do. Like what? Why?
I think my, I have a 6-year-old, and if my 6-year-old were presented with any of this, he'd be like, oh, I want to play Lego Worlds. Like, that's all. Like, he'd be like, I don't know what's happening.
Do you remember Blue's Clues, though? Like, they'd be like.
Oh, do I remember? I have 3 kids. I know what Blue's Clues is currently. I have a favorite host. Help
find the clue. And it's like, over there.
So like, where?
Over there.
We just found the weed. We just found the weed. I bet Steve smoked. Like, for sure. Most deaf.
So then the first kid suggests get a teacher, which the turtles are like, sure. Then Michelangelo is clearly too fucking stoned to engage in this conversation and says, get a pizza, which everybody quickly is just like, all right, why don't you go sit the fuck down, you dumb fuck. Yeah. And then one kid, like, desperately yells, get out of there! Like, his own life is at stake and he is being pursued by a demon. Wow. And Donatello's like, let's see if Joey is that smart, which, I mean, I guess he is. So then he calls the kid turkey, which is probably the least offensive thing you would call a kid who is going through puberty, offering drugs to an 8-year-old that shouldn't even be at the fucking same school. And then,
yeah, like turd. I thought he was going to say turd. I was like, turd would have been like, okay. Turkey is like.
It's just another bird. He's like, I know birds too. You may as well start singing
your ABCs. Like, I got, it's not.
I got birds too. You can call me a bird. You call me a chicken. I got another one.
Man, you're such a blue jay. This is like, excuse me.
I would say turkey is the second most consumed bird product. Suck it.
Oof. Oh, jeez.
So I do take offense to Donatello saying that drug dealers are dorks. Don't even talk to them.
They're very cool.
Which I only. Which I only take offense to because dorks rule. So dorks rule, and I don't. I think that was the best term for it. I would have much preferred it if he just said, like, that kid is a fucking dick or a dildo or something like that.
Come on, Andy, let's spitball this. He's that guy, he's a sleazy meatball. Oh, yeah. That guy, he's used trash. Oh, yeah. That guy,
you gotta do some, like, Ninja Turtle references.
That kid is a dumpster fire. Like, oh.
Yeah. And I will say, like.
That kid's from Oklahoma.
It was noted on the internet by multiple people on this video that like, Raphael and Michelangelo just look stoned out of their fucking minds in the TV, which is hilarious.
They party.
Yeah. They party crazy. And I think calling a 13-year-old, presumably, a kid a drug dealer, again, as I mentioned, is super weird.
Yeah. It is. But anyways. First of all, I never encountered marijuana in the wild until I moved to Seattle in 2009. I was 24 years old, okay? I never encountered it in the wild until then. Even prior to that, the only time I ever had any face-to-face contact with marijuana was through the DARE program at my public school. So it's like, you guys don't want me to know about it, but you're like actually just, I mean, you're educating me about it, but like now I just know it's a weird, crusty.
This is what it looks like. So if you ever find it, you'll know. This is the good stuff.
Score. Yeah. Sweet, sweet ganj. It never happened. Some kids were probably "quote unquote" cooler than I was, and definitely encountered weed way earlier than 24.
I'll say this: I had never been to a dealer of any kind, but like my friends would. I shouldn't say things about that. I guess I can say friends loosely. Nobody knows what that means, but my friends would have it at different times and like ask me to have it, and of course I would just say no, always, 100% of the time.
Definitely, 100% of the time. Like definitely never. So.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
So, anyways, Ninja Turtles drug campaign.
Ninja Turtles drug campaign. My goodness. You're so dorky.
Thank you.
Okay. This is a big one, Andy. This is a big one to me, okay? My thing today is Lego Island.
Lego Island.
In September of 97, a CD-ROM game hit my Packard Bell computer so fucking hard, and I can't tell you how much I played this game. Lego Island is a quote-unquote, like, action with, like, the heaviest quotes video game that was based on Legos and building them and then doing, like, weird missions as a Lego person. It was for your computer. 97, we were 12, okay? Which seemed later in life, or it seemed like in my head I was younger, but it 12 seems a little bit late, but I guess that was about eighth grade.
Yeah,
that stands to reason.
I mean,
for me,
it's,
so
it's weird to me, like how like some things I'll be like, wow, I was way too young to be doing that. Uh-huh. Other things I'll think I was way too old, but like really, like it's not that weird for like a 12-year-old to be doing like slightly kiddish things.
Not at all. Now a 12-year-old straight up is like doing coke in the bathroom.
Sure.
Like absolutely. But as a 12-year-old in the 90s, you were playing Lego Island, or at least I was. So Lego Island is, looking back, this game sucked. Like it sucked. But like I watched probably an hour or two of gameplay footage yesterday just to get back into it. And my mind was like screaming the entire time of being like, you haven't seen this in 23 years. You haven't seen this scene in 23 years. And you haven't even thought about it. And it was just bringing back some of the craziest memories. But like, let's talk about Lego Island itself. Essentially, it is an island. It is just an island. You can see no land anywhere near around it. And it sucks. Okay. There's a gas station. There uh-huh. is a racetrack.
Uh-huh.
There's an information house. There's a sure. hospital, uh-huh. a police station, an mm-hmm. island for the single prisoner in town.
Wait,
and
whoa.
Yeah. Oh, no.
An
we'll
island, a separate island for
well,
this
he's,
one
he's,
dude?
He's like, I would call it, it's not an isthmus or something, but no, that's not the right term. But he's like a little,
like a peninsula.
He's an island peninsula. Thank you. Mm-hmm. There's a peninsula where the thief lives or the burglar lives, and then there's a single pizzeria. And also on the island there are three homes. Okay. If you look up a map of Lego Island, yeah, three homes.
Three
homes. If you
Isn't
look
there
at a map,
police station?
There's a police station on the complete opposite fucking side of this island.
And that means that one of those three houses belongs to him. So like
yeah.
And one has to belong to the this is if all these businesses have one employee.
What,
like the pizzeria
no, oh, no,
dude
no.
and the
Everything
cop.
Has multiple people. And there are Lego Islanders just walking around. It's like you're all homeless because you don't live in the houses
know,
up there.
We know
you're
for a
homeless.
Fact you have
you're,
nowhere to
you
go.
You have no home, okay? And this it's clunky, okay? It's I'll be honest, because it's 97. It's a clunky ass video game. In my head, it was so much better because, again, no surprise, this is one of those places where I went and just played and pretended that I lived
Wait,
there too.
What?
Can you imagine? Wow,
no,
I pretended
way,
I lived in Lego Island.
It's amazing. The Lisa fucking Monahan special. Taking a game and just pretending she lives there.
It was the best. That's all I did as a kid because I was depressed. And so all it was just a bunch of two-lane roads. And like you were tasked with some missions. Like you could work at the pizzeria and deliver pizzas either on a skateboard or on a motorcycle, police bike, or you know, you could build these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
There were little missions, not a big deal. You could walk around, you could run into people with your car and they would just break and they'd be like, ooh, and then, you know, it would hear the clattering of their pieces and they would just get up and...
It is nice to have the option to brutally murder people without it being like rated R.
Absolutely. But like they just, and there were little things built into it where like someone would be walking down a path and then a character in the game would be driving by with like a brick that's sticking out. It would decapitate the person. He'd be like, oh gosh,
what
I lost my head. And he'd like the body would be like, over here. And like trying to get the body back. And like you could click on someone's torso and it would be like, woohoo. And then it would like the torso would flip over and then like their hat would be different. Or then now there'd be a flower on their head. And like you could click on a house and it would go like, it would make like a crunch sound like, and then the house would like turn into a different house. It was weird. It was just an odd, and like I'm telling you, it felt lonely as fuck because everything was so spread out that it felt like this is one of those weird subdivisions in like Florida that old people live in where like nothing is there yet, but there's just like it's just an island. They're trying to force it and it ain't going so well. But it's an odd game.
It's
really
like my island in Animal Crossing.
Yes, exactly. And you could ride a jet ski around. There was a racetrack and you could go into and like it would go underground and you would have to do the lap like four or five times or like a really long amount of time. It's like, I want to get off this ride. You'd like go underworld and there would be like a huge white skeleton Lego like kicking shit around and rolling pizzas. And I forgot about the giant black octopus that was just spitting in circles and would knock your shit over. But I will say this. Okay. Because I played the game the way that I did, I never completed like the ultimate mission of the game. And there weren't many, okay? Essentially, what there was there was a super menacing prisoner at the peninsula, prisoner peninsula over there. And his whole thing was like he wanted pizzas delivered to him. And he would get mad if you sent him the wrong one or something like that. But essentially, if the cards were right, okay, if you had built a helicopter and you were delivering a pizza to him, and there was some other thing that was had to fall into line. If you did all that and you delivered a pizza to him and the pizza was right or something like that, he would take the pizza and melt the lock of his cell and break loose. Okay.
So
go ahead.
They just abandon all reason at that point.
Because up to then it's just like, I'm just piddling around. I'm riding a jet ski. I'm riding around town, clicking flowers and changing them. And so suddenly the ante is upped tremendously because suddenly the Brickster is out. Okay.
He comes out and just starts stabbing everyone.
He decapitates children, screams at them, pees on. No. What happens? Okay.
I'd be so much better.
What I did was I went fully down the rabbit hole in this game. Okay, Andy, I looked it up on Reddit and sure enough, someone was like, this game took away my childhood. I was like, I'm reading that article.
Oh.
I'm reading this post. And the person was like, they'd gotten this for Christmas. And they were playing the game and they were loving it. And, you know, after a few days, like they're very timid kid, very sensitive kid. I think they said they were about six, so they were quite a bit younger than me at the time. The Brickster got out. What does the Brickster do when he gets out? The Brickster, upon getting out, takes your helicopter and goes around the island and destroys every building. Okay? So up until this point, you're not doing anything but like licking lollipops and driving a car. And suddenly someone is destroying the town and it's your fault. Because you delivered a pizza to him. Okay.
So, like, you deliver a pizza to this guy.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like you as a child have to have basically a Kevin McAllister, look what you did, you little jerk, cheese pizza moment.
Yes.
In the kitchen where everything is destroyed and you are like, fuck, I ruined everything with my actions.
And up until this point, you're not having, to my understanding, up until this point, you're not having to do a whole lot in the game. Okay. Like your task was small stuff, but once he's out, you have to like stop the helicopter and like do roadblocks and do like it's tremendous. Like it's a huge step up to my understanding. Okay. Cause again, I never got there, but reading this person's post was the worst. So what happens is that if you don't beat the Brickster, you get the bad game ending. Which is that it cuts to the Brickster standing around the island and like standing on a brick, and he's surrounded by the like buildings that have been destroyed, and everyone's screaming and crying and like wailing and sobbing, and he's just like, I did it, you know, I destroyed this place. Look at all the hard
Holy
work.
Holy shit!
I know. And then like what was his name? Infomaniac, like the Infomaniac. Yikes!
That's wow. His name.
Yeah, he's the guy who's kind of like in charge of everything. He's like, well, you know, better luck next time, I guess. He didn't quite do it right this time, but like you could always try again. And it's like, as a little kid, that would fuck you up. Because this kid, this person who made this Reddit post was like, I was devastated. I had ruined, the island was ruined because of what I had done. And I let Santa down and I let my family down. And it was just Lego Island, man. Apparently, there is a good ending, and you get like pat on the back by all the officers in town. But if you don't, as a kid, the Brickster is
rough.
I mean, like, if you look up Lego Island Brickster, he's not cool looking. He's fucking scary looking. And when he approaches you, he never takes his eyes off you. When he's walking around, his face is still deadpan straight at you. It's like that's intense compared to what everyone else in the island is doing. So,
I do have some thoughts.
I want to hear them.
Okay. So first off, this game sounds like, when you're listing off all of the shit and stuff that you can do in this game, it feels like they were so busy trying to figure out different things you could do or see that they forgot to make the game good.
Yes. Jack, my husband is a game developer, and he was like, well, this is actually pretty good. I was like, stop lying to yourself.
No. I mean, trash. For the time, there is so much stuff and availability of stuff to do, which is crazy for 1997 or whatever. That's a lot of stuff to be able to do. But yeah, they probably were just like, man, we probably could have cut out like 10 of these things and just made the game better. Like
probably
a little bit.
But honestly, if you look at a Lego Island map, if you look at a map out of it, it's so spread out and so shitty that you're like, this isn't actually fun. This isn't fun. Like it's so sparse. Like the island is big. Yeah. So
the other thing I will say is about the bad game ending. Like, I will say this, 1990s video games, like, a lot, people are so used to, like, the most popular games, like, you know, the Marios and things like that, and Zeldas and stuff like that, that everything seems a lot more PG and, like, chill. Mm-hmm. I played, so, like, when I got Sega Genesis Classic, for anyone who has that out there, and I played it back in the day a little bit, Comics Zone. So I'm pretty sure there are other games very similar to this in how their brutal endings and stuff. So, like, the whole premise of that game is you're, like, an author, like, an artist, like, comic book artist, who then one of his cartoons, like, who's, like, this super evil dude, writes you into the comic, and you're stuck there, and you have to deal with all of the shit that you've, like, drawn, like, all the bad stuff. And if you, like, lose all your lives, like, then it's just, like, they show this, like, way too long, super dark reality where the comic character that trapped you in there is just, like, cackling uncontrollably and, like, I mean, like, now you're trapped forever. And it's just, like, this super brutal ending type of thing. So I'm like, by comparison, this Lego thing's pretty on par with that, I would say.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I one of my favorite games is Spelunky, and Spelunky 2 actually comes out Tuesday. So goodbye, everyone. I'm never talking to you ever again.
Bye forever.
I've been waiting for that game for, like, 7 or 8 years now. But I like games, and I like movies that don't give you a happy ending, but I don't know if I could have handled this
as
bad
a child,
ending
yeah.
as a child. So, sure, sure. But Lego Island, I can't play it anymore. Like, you have to have Windows 95. There's not really any other, or like a very old Windows of, version of Windows in order to play even like downloadable versions. So it's just video. But there are some videos of it on YouTube if you need to get into it. So
emulator people, get on it.
For sure. Come on, dudes. Get it for
of
me.
Of all but games, this one.
This one. Get me this one. So that's Lego Island, guys.
Huzzah.
Deep in my psyche.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd never heard of this game, and that sounds so dope.
It's that's then. One way to put it. Sure.
I mean, like, it's interesting, I should say.
Yeah, for sure.
So anyways, guys, thank you all for tuning in for the first half. We are going to take a quick break, give you our poll results from last week, and then we'll go ahead and bring you our court case. So we will catch you back after the break.
See ya. Hey, everybody. Welcome back from the break. My finger's bleeding. That's an update you needed.
Breaking news. Lisa's finger is bleeding.
I'm trying to do the, like, Kleenex on the cut clot. To be
unknown,
like,
causation, but a certain
hangnail.
Life threat.
Hangnails, man.
Oh, God.
I know. That shit sucks.
It's funny that there was such a long period of time, like, that I would hear references to hangnails and in jokes and stuff like that, and I never knew what they meant. Like, I'd had hangnails before. I just didn't know that's what it was for a very long time.
And I may be saying it wrong. This is the cuticle area, but it sucks. But whatever the case is, sure. I'm currently bleeding on the show. Very
Hooray.
Cool. Don't say we didn't give you anything, like, too much information, because that's what we
that's
do.
That's what everybody was like. I was like, when are you going to start sharing more blood stuff?
More blood stuff. Well, today's the day, guys. I'm bleeding currently out of my finger. So, but you don't want to hear about my blood. You want to hear about the poll results, which was also a bloodbath.
Okay, well.
It was a total bloodbath. All right. Last week was episode 50, and with that, we celebrated two of the biggest movies of the decade, and that was Jurassic Park versus Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Wow, Facebook really handed it to Jurassic Park. 77% to 23% Jurassic Park. And then Twitter, a little bit better, 61.5%. I don't know if I've seen a half percent on here before.
It's weird that if I'm on my computer and I look it up, they do half percentages. But if it's on my phone, they're just like, nah, fam, just
nah, dog. we're rounding up. Well, yeah. Well, so 61.5% to 38.5% Jurassic Park. So, and I did a poll on Instagram as well. I'm pretty certain Jurassic Park won.
Oh,
although
sure.
I think it was closer than these numbers.
It's just like I mean, Terminator 2 is a good movie. Jurassic Park is like, everybody loves fucking dinosaurs, like, not having sex with them, but, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, everybody loves dinosaurs, especially from a freaking kid. And for the first time ever seeing, like, literally, like, if you think of a T-Rex, it looks like the fucking T-Rex in Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Yep. So. Exactly. They did it. So Jurassic Park, no surprise. I mean, I was hoping we knew I was going to win that one with Jurassic Park, but T2 put up a better fight on Twitter than I thought it would. So
for sure.
All right. Well, there it is. Jurassic Park won. Thank you guys for that.
Yeah. Well, anyways, like we said, we're doing the patron inspired episode this week. Like I said, just to give you a little bit of background, our judge is a big fan. He kind of was going over some different comics with us that he was a big fan of. They weren't necessarily from the 90s, though. But when he was listing some of the different ones, we were like, oh, well, along that list, there were some comics from, like, the 50s and stuff that are super dope. They started in the 50s and continued, of Casper, the Friendly Ghost, and Richie Rich. And I was like, those are both 90 movies, very conveniently. Mm-hmm. So we asked if we could cover the movies. He's like, absolutely. So needless to say, something just came across my desk. Breaking news. Casper versus Richie Rich. Lisa goes first.
I am going first. Guys, Casper. So to do our Patreon supporter justice here, I want to do some quick back info on Casper the Friendly Ghost, just a little bit real quick, and then we'll talk about the movie, okay? So he was from the famous Studios cartoon series, and he starred in 55 cartoons between 1945 and 1955, which I guess isn't that outrageous because he's not a person, he's a cartoon.
Drive 55.
That's a song.
It is weird to say that he starred in something. What's that?
Yes. Is that a real song?
Oh, yeah. I Can't Drive 55. Yeah, it's absolutely a real song.
By whom?
I don't remember. Some hair band from the 80s. Somebody else is going to be yelling at us now that you brought
Someone's
that up.
Yelling.
I hate
yelling.
When you ask me. This is more of an early episode thing, but you would ask me for follow-up on stuff and I didn't know. And then I'm going to get murdered for this.
So it's okay. People like to roast me over the fire better than you. So so he was featured in the Harvey comics since 1952 and until Harvey purchased the character outright in 1959. Happy birthday, Mom. That was the year my mom was born. Everyone cares about little data points like that. So
yes.
Casper was also featured in a bunch of TV series in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So like Casper had like a big thing going for a long ass time. All right. And of course hit the big screen in 1995 with the movie Casper. Now let us talk about the movie Casper. It came out in May of 95.
The movie Casper.
The movie of Casper. I'm French.
That was actually really good.
Was it? I took French one semester in college till I accidentally cheated because I got sick for too long and had to use free translation. And the teacher was like, bitch, you're cheating. I was like, you're right. And then I just quit school forever.
You're right.
I'm out. Au revoir, biche. So Casper was rated PG, but like, I'm not buying it, okay? Because I watched this movie over the course of the weekend, and like, it had some weirdly adult and dark ass themes and more cussing than I think I'd be cool with if I set like my kid down for a PG movie right now. And I'm not a helicopter parent, like, that's not what I am, but I'd be like, I'm sorry, did you just say the word bitch in a PG movie from 1995?
Yeah,
we'll get into that. So the cast includes Malachi Pearson, who voiced Casper. Okay. Christina Ricci played Kat. That's Catherine. Kat's father was Dr. James Harvey, played by Bill Pullman. And some other folks were there as well, including Brad Garrett, the deep-voiced guy from
yes. Everybody Loves Raymond.
Everybody Loves Raymond. And Jack put on a movie for the kids earlier, and Brad Garrett was also doing a voiceover in that one. I was just like, it's a Brad Garrett weekend.
I don't know what to tell you. Dude's got it great. I love his voice. I know it's weird, but it's great.
There's nothing weird about it. Dude fucking rules. Nothing weird about it. So the plot begins with opening on a spoiled heiress who is named Kerrigan. And she's just learned that her father's crazy fortune went to charities after his death. And all she was left with was Whipstaff Manor. And they learned that there's a treasure hidden inside the mansion. Okay.
Treasure.
So they head there only to find that three nasty fucking ghosts, which are Casper's uncles, aka the ghostly trio, are there haunting it alongside Casper. Okay. Cool.
Yes.
They send so Kerrigan, the heiress, and her associate named, I think it was Dubstep.
Yes,
Dubstep. Skrillex. We'll call him Skrillex from here on out. Kerrigan and Skrillex go there and they send a priest in. Okay, so this is where shit gets weird. They send a priest in to do not a poltergeist, a
exorcism.
Exorcism, thank you. He comes back. They hear a loud scream. He comes out of there with his head twisted completely around. Like, his body is walking towards them and his head is facing behind him. It's like, that's not cool. It's like
we did a ghost murder, so like, but it's PG though, so it's fine.
Yeah, so I mean, he's still technically alive, but his head's backwards. That's fine. It's totally cool. Sure. So we also get a quick cameo from Dan Aykroyd, who's running out of there as dressed as a Ghostbuster, and he's like, who are you gonna call? Somebody else. And it's like, well, okay, into it.
I love cameos like that where like, was it worth paying them what you paid them to do that for that one little thing?
They also, what were the other cameos they had? Where was it? It's somewhere here. It was like Rodney Dangerfield, Mel Gibson, and I don't think it was It was someone else very important.
Mel Gibson.
Dan Aykroyd. Clint Eastwood.
What the hell?
Yeah, why? And they also had the Crypt Keeper from like Tales from the Crypt.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, they just did it. They were super into it. They super wanted some cameos in this fucking movie. So, where was I? In my notes, the gin fizz is settling into my tummy. Okay, so you have the cameo from him, and then Casper is like, everything's going wrong, right? And like they mm-hmm. want to get into the house to find the treasure, right? So Casper's like lonely watching TV inside the mansion and sees a hard copy episode about Dr. James Harvey, Bill Pullman's character. He is a paranormal therapist, that's a thing, who has a super cute daughter, Kat, Christina Ricci. So Casper figures out a way to trick Kerrigan the heiress into having Dr. Harvey come to the mansion to assist getting his fucked up uncles out of here and cross over. And that's like, I think crossing over with John Edwards was something in the early like 2000 period. But if it's in the mm-hmm. 90s, I'm talking about it in the future.
Lisa, real quick.
What's up?
Are we gonna just brush over the fact that like one of the keystone characters in the movie that's like very important is a paranormal therapist?
He's a paranormal therapist.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Just wanted to at least just put a little bit of a finer point on that.
He's just out there. He's just like, tell me how it feels. Like, how does that make you feel to be dead and be a horrible, awful ghost like living in Whipstaff Manor?
Presumably, they can't talk back to you because they're ghosts.
Oh, but they can because it's Casper and they're hyper-aggressive, okay? It's fucking gnarly, all right? So the Doc and Kat move across country into the mansion. Okay, first question mark moment to me as a parent was like, Christina Ricci's character is going through the house trying to claim her new room. She lands in Casper's room and she's sitting on his bed and he goes, there's a girl on my bed. Yes! And I'm like... ghost boners.
Listen, everybody's got to get some.
But a ghost?
Even post-mortem.
Even like a small child ghost is like bonerific?
Yeah, that's probably a little accurate.
I don't care for it. I don't care for it at all. So whatever the case is, Kat and her dad start getting tormented by the other ghosts and everything is gnarly. And let's see. Oh, I forgot to mention their names, okay? The uncles are Fatso, Stretch, and Stinky. And turns out that the uncles are real pieces of shit, even for dead people.
I'm sure those were their Christian names.
Absolutely. Wicked Christian. Yeah. They're given.
Can you imagine being a ghost and being like, we need new names to describe how our ghosts look?
Yeah. Fatso was Brad Garrett's character, by the way.
I can't do that deep of a voice. I want to do impressions, but I can't even try.
I can't do it either. That's the best I could do. So Casper tries to befriend Kat, and it's slowly working, but like, okay, you have a ghost friend. That's a weird flex. And all the while, like, Kat is, Kat's trying to, like, get in with her schoolmates, and there's this cute boy at school, and she keeps giving him eyes, and he gives them back, but then his girlfriend's like, I'm a total bitch, and they're in the same class together. It's a whole shit show. So she's in class introducing herself, and she gets volunteered to host the class Halloween party at her haunted mansion house, and she's like, oh shit, ah fuck. Like, I guess that makes sense. So she's all of a sudden is a new girl in town, gonna be hosting that. So real quick, we learn how Casper died. Okay, I'm skipping over a lot because the movie, there was a lot of like weird shit going on. It was mostly just to be like, check out this weird CG, lol. Yeah, it's a whole thing. But we learn how Casper died. And I know you've talked about Casper in some respect, some point in the show, but I don't know if you just talked about how he died. And how he died was that he was using a sled and he stayed out too late and then he got sick and got pneumonia.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he got pneumonia and died. And like they go over all of this in the movie. I'm just like, there's no way I'd let my kid watch this. This is way too dark. I mean, I don't want to say it's dark per se, but it's just like, that's a lot to put on a kid to be like, hey, I'm a little kid ghost, and yes, I was alive at some point, and this is how I died. It's like,
I didn't die in like a brutal murder. I just died in the fucking saddest way possible.
I really say, yes, like my parents are really sad. And you think that's sad? His dad went on to invent something called the Lazarus, which was like what the treasure kind of was. And it was essentially a machine to try to bring people back from the dead. Because he was trying to bring Casper back.
If that's
back.
Not what the Lazarus was, I would be stunned.
Yes. Yeah. The Lazarus is a really cool way to make gin fizzes. It's a machine gun. Boy, that gin fizz is disgusting an hour later.
I know. It's just eggs and milk in my stuff.
eggs, lemon juice, and heavy whipping cream at room temperature now. So Kat and Casper go to the basement of the mansion to find the Lazarus, okay? And while Kerrigan, the heiress, and her assistant Skrillex are also in the house, they are on the hunt for the treasure as well. So
the fact that you've stuck to Skrillex even this late is so good. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm going for it, Andy. Slam dunkaroo, right? So slam dunkaroo. I hate myself sometimes.
Dunkaroos, we need to cover that soon.
We need to cover that. They came back. Did you see? Was Ashton posted about it?
Oh, honey. Before COVID and everything like that happened, yeah, I was posting about like so much about that because
I know. Well, we may have one of our things for next week then, right? All right, well, I'll let you take that one. So, all right, so they're all in there with Skrillex trying to find this weird treasure. And once they realize what the Lazarus was intended to do, Kerrigan and her assistant try to kill each other so that they can travel through the walls because it's like it's behind a locked, like a locked door and they can't get to it, but they can if they can travel through the walls like a dead soul. So they're trying to kill each other. And at some point, Kerrigan is trying to hit her assistant with her car, drives most of the way off a cliff, gets out of the car, and falls to her death. Okay.
Well.
Yeah. And,
I mean,
and
mission accomplished, I guess.
Yeah. And so her assistant is like at the edge of the cliff, like, well, okay. And then this big shadow of her horrible bitch soul like comes up and she's just like, not so fast. The bitch is back. It's like, the bitch is back? It's 1995. 795, what did I say?
795.
95. How dare you say the bitch is back? And later on, the assistant calls her a bitch again. I'm just like, that's a lot of cuss words. Bring it down a notch, guys. So all the while this shit is going down, the Halloween party is going, which is a whole thing. And then also at the same time, Dr. Harvey, Kat's father, is with the three asshole uncle ghosts at a karaoke bar, and there he's drunk and he accidentally kills himself by falling into a manhole.
Aw, beans.
Aw, double F. Awesome, Amish. Can you believe it? Her father dies in the movie. I think I saw this once before, but it's just like, that's fucked up and like, it's so bad. So he comes back to the mansion with the uncle ghosts, and they're like, Kat's devastated. Because at this point, like, part of the thing with the Lazarus. Because her dad died. He moved her across the country to be like, we're going to give therapy to these like, paranormal spirits.
I really think the people who made this thought, like, well, they're going to turn into ghosts, so it's okay.
It's totally cool. We'll go ahead and kill the dad. It's fine. This won't traumatize children at all. To, like, as a child, be sitting there and be like, I'm talking to my dead father. Oh, by the way, Christina Ricci's mother is also dead in the movie.
Oh, so she's like, oh, cool, I'm an only child, so
now I'm whatever. Suddenly an only child. Both parents are spirits, LOL. Oh. So
I'm sure
LOL.
They made, like, super, didn't make a big deal about it either. It's like, yeah, super he's dead, didn't whatever. Make a big.
Well, like, the whole movie, the father is, like, constantly mourning the dead wife. It's like, yeah, keep hitting that piano key a lot. That's super depressing. So the Lazarus works on this potion, and that's supposedly the treasure, right? The potion, you put it into the Lazarus, and it turns a ghost person back into a human. Well, Casper was all ready to go back and be turned into a human again. Fucked it all up. And Chris, and he's like, you know what, Kat, you get your dad back. Like, no big deal. But somehow, knowing that he had done such a good thing, Kat's dead mom, like, comes through
the magic of friendship.
Through the magic of friendship is like, you know what, Casper, I'm going to give you till 10 p.m. tonight to be a human. I'm going to grant you the ability to become a human again till 10 p.m. So what? Like, Kat gets her dad back and then she's all celebrating with him down at the party. And then Casper played by Devon Sawa, but as Devon Sawa's character, still voiced by the original voice actor, that's unusual, comes up and they dance and like kiss, and then the clock strikes 10 and then he turns back into a kid ghost and like,
hey mom.
Yeah, hey mom.
Can you give like why? What's the deal with the time limit, huh? Did you just make that up out of nowhere? You're like, I don't want you fucking my daughter, so I gotta like set some limits on this.
Like Devon Sawa 95 dick is like it's a whole thing. We're not letting this happen. So, he turns back into Casper. Everyone at the party freaks out because they just saw a ghost, and then they run out, and then Kat and her dad are like dancing in the big house, and then Casper the Ghost is like, oh, well, this is so fun. And then the movie's over. That's it. That's it, Andy.
Hey, listen, resolution.
Hey, guess what? The dead boy is still a dead boy. Cool. Cool movie.
He's still a very friendly ghost.
He's still super friendly. I want to say there was some trivia that was interesting, but the only thing that was super interesting to me that was that this, like the main corridor was filmed in the same space and same setting as the Backstreet's Back. All right.
What?
Yeah. It's like everybody. Like when they were doing the weird Halloween shit.
Yeah.
Same house. And I was like, of course it. Like the same spiral in the middle of the floor. Mm-hmm. And that's Casper, man.
That's wild.
That's Casper. So I'm going to punt this
Casper,
football.
The friend, the ghost.
Gets boners died, and comes
then
back.
They don't.
Yeah.
So what, by the way, what happened to the chick who, the bitch that was back?
She, okay, so the thing that happened with her was that you essentially you don't cross over until you finished your business in the afterlife. Mm-hmm. And Christina Ricci tricked her into saying that she had finished her business, and then she like turned into bright lights and exploded.
Man,
yeah,
what?
It got gnarly.
Just
yeah.
You need to understand, Christina Ricci, you just murdered that person permanently.
You murdered the dead.
They
person.
They're gone forever.
She's crossed over into heaven. She's in heaven now with Jesus Christ. That's where she is now. She's the bad bitch.
She's the bad bitch that's with Jesus.
She's the HBIC head bitch in Christ.
Okay.
So
Richard Rich.
I maybe saw this movie. Maybe. I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
So we're going to go into Richie Rich. So just a few basic details. So this was a 1994 comedy film. It actually came out December 21st of 1994, so pretty much 95.
Man, they love Macaulay Culkin.
There. But yeah,
Christmas
they fucking
time.
Love Richie. Yeah, Macaulay Culkin is the king of Christmas.
Yeah.
So I do have a few interesting trivias about this, but so as far as the movie itself, its performance, it was a 96-minute movie. It had a budget of $40 million and it box office 38.1. Which, I mean, that's one where it's close enough where I'm like, they made that back. Like, they had a lot of sponsors in there that I'm sure paid them a lot of money. Like, they had a freaking McDonald's in the bill. Like, it was, yeah. So, I think they're...
So, you're saying the budget was more than the box office?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, $40 million to $38.1, which, I mean, again, you know, it is what it is.
Oh,
so,
wow. My budget was $55, box office $288 million.
Yeah, so
damn.
Casper did good, apparently, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I will say that this one is only in the U.S., so I'm not sure if it's international for Casper or not. But okay. So, this movie, getting my notes. Richie, so just to give you a little bit of synopsis early on, Richie Rich is son to the richest man in the world, Richard Rich, which sucks because I wanted to comedically call him Richard Rich. So this is the thing, I'm going to say it so many times, but sadly that is not only his real name, Richie Rich's real name is Richard, but also his dad goes by that name. So I can't really call him Richard Rich.
Damn it.
But Lisa did propose that I call him Richard Rich, because that's funny as well, because technically they're both Richard.
Yeah.
So Richie Rich is played by Macaulay Culkin. Jonathan Hyde played the butler. Jonathan Hyde is a super dope actor. Like, I don't recognize his name, but he had a lot of, he was like the, he was in Jumanji and a bunch of other, like he was, anyways.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Who rules. Edward Herman plays Richard Rich. Christine Ebersole, Regina Rich. John Larroquette, bad guy.
Oh, John Larroquette.
Yeah. And Michael McShane, who played Professor Keenbean, who also rules.
Oh my gosh.
I will say, Professor Keenbean, the dude who played him, like, I'm not judging people for being overweight or anything like that. He just looked like he was ready to explode, like, from eating too many sandwiches the entire movie.
Yes.
And of course, they did that intentionally because they're like, we need to make this guy really like sandwiches. And that can be a funny thing. Is how fat he is. So kids can pick on fat kids in school.
Yes.
Anyways,
obviously.
So.
Thanks for that, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks, movies. His parents are actually super solid people and largely are wanting to help people as much as possible, which is super normal for billionaires, of course.
Yes.
So they are the richest people in the world. But yeah, they buy stuff and then they'll donate it to people and stuff like that, or they invest and donate to so many charities and stuff. They actively help communities and stuff. But they also they buy a lot of crazy shit and have a lot of crazy shit built, aka Mount Richmore, which is just nonsense. So basically, they built like a Mount Rushmore that was the two parents' head and then Macaulay Culkin's head, like in a giant Mount Rushmore that
it
they
just
have
makes sense.
Like, on their property.
Interesting.
So honestly, in this film, the thing I noticed was that if you were a good guy, you were so good. Like, you were just like the dopest person. You were unnaturally awesome. If you were a bad guy, it was super obvious because of that.
Did like, you have thick eyebrows as a bad person? Like, every person that was bad had thick eyebrows?
No, I didn't notice that if that was true. But the reason it was obvious, because if you were even remotely unpleasant, like, you were a bad guy. Like, you were for sure a bad guy. Like, If you weren't just, like, immediately nice to Richie Rich, like, you were, except for the kids. They were kind of dicks at first. But all the adults, like, who were even moderately unpleasant, they're like, oh, he's going to be a bad guy. And it was true every time. So let me summarize the first 45 to 50 minutes of the movie, a.k.a. Let's half of this film. Look how rich this kid is. Man, what a cool house. Wow, amazing technology. Wow, good at baseball. Wow, super lonely. No friends. Hey, look, normal kids. Oh, normal kids are dicks. Just kidding, they're not now. Wait, they kind of are because they said how great of a time they had, which was 99% based on the fact that he had more entertainment available than Walt Disney World. Oh no, my mom and dad. That's like the first. That's like the first
oh,
55
no,
minutes.
Oh no, my mom and dad. In what regard? Just like
you'll find out. So
okay.
So that was just kind of leading up to it, and that was kind of like the marker where it became like, hey, we should have an actual plot to this movie now, rather than just like showing all the cool stuff. Like, and that's the thing is, for kids, like I remember as a kid, like loving this movie because it's something about like seeing like really cool and rad stuff that you were like, man, that's so awesome. Man, I wish I could be like. It's just kind of like a weird like. Man, I wish I could have those toys. Man, I wish I could have XYZ. But anyways, it's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
So Van Doe is the main bad guy. He's basically
Van Doe.
Van Doe.
Okay.
He's the John Larroquette who played Van Doe. He's like the wealth advisor of the family, been forever. He also hates when they do nice things. Like, they'll try and, like, donate stuff or, like, buy a business and then donate it back to the people who originally owned it. You know, build it up and make it nice again. He hates all that shit. He's like, this is not how you make money. You got to make fucking money. So then he sabotaged their plane with a bomb, which was a pretty, pretty giant leap from, like, just kind of disagreeing with their... with their, like, way of handling money to just being like, I want to kill these motherfuckers. It was supposed to be, and everybody thought at first that Richie Rich was going to be on the plane with them, which he was supposed to be. And then at the last second, like, the butler's like, well, you know what? He had a rough day. Maybe we should bring him back to the home and, you know, we can get a full schedule and keep him busy. So he did. And so as a result, it was just the mom and dad who apparently know how to fly their own jet, which is neat.
Okay.
They did end up finding the bomb on the plane, fortunately, and they were like, oh, shit, it's a bomb, and they threw it out. But, of course, like, timing-wise, it was just as such that it flew out and blew up and exploded the back tail of their plane.
Oh, my gosh.
So they crash-landed in the middle of the ocean. Apparently, later on, you find that they landed and they were alive. They were in a life raft, but everybody thinks they're dead.
What's with dead parents?
Just there's a lot of dead parents in these fucking things, huh, fam?
How are we not orphans somehow?
I know. Like, it's just so weird. 90s. Like, every movie is about, like, fucking dead parents.
Yeah.
Richie is able to take over the business for a bit and is killing it along with Cadbury. So Cadbury was his butler who was his legal guardian. So he was the one who said, I grant all ownership to him to do it, which pissed off Van Doe because he's like, fuck, all I wanted was this fucking business because he wanted to take the – there's a – he keeps hearing about this hidden, like, vault – of the riches that he believes like all this dope shit is in. Cause at one point Richard Rich did say like, oh, well all of my best possessions, those are in the vault.
Okay.
So Richie like immediately. So, after like absolutely destroying, he was killing it. Like he was doing a really good job of running the business and making things better, against all logic. Richie then, basically get kicked out of being the boss, basically because they planted evidence to get Cadbury locked up, who was his legal guardian and was the only reason Richie could be the boss. And so then the other guy took his legal guardianship, Van Doe, and Van Doe's like, all right, you're going to stay in the house and not leave ever. and we're putting up security cameras everywhere. So Richie gets some super dope acid from Keen Bean, who Keen Bean, again, he was the
acid, the, like,
not, yeah, he doesn't just get really high. It at like some strong acid, which he then uses to break Cadbury out of jail. Surprisingly, no consequences ever came of this.
Surprisingly. When you're rich, there are no consequences.
Yeah, they mount an attack on the house, him and a bunch of the kids from before, since they now at this point know that his parents are alive, but need to find out exactly where he is so they can go get him. He does have a dad locator. Don't ask, just roll with it.
Sure.
They successfully break in, but wow, when they found it, they found out dad's in the house. Oh, whoops, the bad guy found dad. And he's going to like have them show them the vault, and then he's going to kill them.
Cool beans.
An epic series of events on the inside and exterior of Mount Richmore involving giant lasers and bulletproof clothing. The riches live, and Van Doe goes to jail. Richie then hangs out with his friends more and becomes a bit more of a normal kid. So that's kind of the end of the movie. There was a lot more to it, obviously, but that was it. But the big thing was like, a lot of it was just about, like, hey, look how cool all this stuff is.
Yes.
Of course,
they
had a few famous people, like, do cameos. Like, Reggie Jackson was, like, his baseball instructor and stuff. Like, some supermodel was, like, his gym instruction teacher and everything like that. So there were a few... and Ben Stein, I believe, was one of his teachers. Yeah, Ben Stein was huge back then for cameos. Like that was his whole jam, was just cameos. Really.
Can I drop a quick nugget of knowledge?
Sure.
Ben Stein wrote one of the best books I've ever read.
Really.
Called Quaaludes. It's Quaaludes. It's a nonfiction book about the Quaaludes from the
drugs.
The drugs from I think it was a story from the 70s or 80s. It's an amazing book. Side nugget.
Wow.
Inside nugget.
Super random.
It is, but I'm telling you, it's one of the best books I've ever
read. This is the crazy thing, is thinking about Ben Stein writing a book about drugs is so weird.
It's a nonfiction book, and it is deeply sad. I was like, Ben Stein? Like, that Ben Stein wrote book? Like, yeah, he dropped some knowledge, so Ben Stein.
Just a brief amount of comic book history, because I know you covered it briefly. So Richie Rich, often stylized as R.I. Cent Sign. They just have cent signs for the C's.
Okay.
Which is upsetting, honestly, if I'm being real with you. It's an upsetting thing to see ever. Like, because who uses the cent sign in real life anymore ever?
Teachers. That's it.
That's the thing. It's like 76 cents. You're like, just put a dollar sign and put 0.76. Like, get over yourself.
Yeah. Well, how dare you, sir?
So
waste my time with this C/ sign.
So anyways, that was just, they were like, well, we didn't have S's to use, so we use C's. So he's a fictional character in the Harvey Comics universe. Mm-hmm. He debuted in Little Dot Number 1, a cover dated September of 1953, and was created by Alfred Harvey and Warren Kramer. So I think it was the same company, I think, as you mentioned, Harvey Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Dubbed the Poor Little Rich Boy.
Okay.
Because basically he's like super loaded, but he's like, still sad, which, I mean, in the movie he was too, because he's like, I want friends, and everybody was like, shut the fuck up, you should be happy with lots of money.
It's true. Yeah. Money buys happiness.
Money buys happiness. That's what every movie ever taught you.
And if it can, it buys drugs.
Yeah.
And that is also happiness.
Sure. So Richie is the only child of a fantastically wealthy parent and is the world's richest kid. He is so rich his middle name is a dollar sign.
Disgusting.
In the comics anyways.
He's technically a Kardashian.
He's technically the worst. I think he's probably not as great in the comic books, I'm guessing.
Probably.
Because he's a pretty lovable guy in the movie. So just a few bits of trivia that I read through there. So when the film was put into production, Macaulay Culkin was actually 5'2", which you would be like, well, that's not that relevant. Except that he's supposed to be playing a little kid. So they literally cast all tall adults. Were hired literally to create the illusion that Culkin was shorter than he actually was. Almost all the cast was taller than 6 feet.
Yes.
So the movie was filmed almost entirely on location at the Biltmore Estate in Asheville, North Carolina, which I mainly mentioned because my parents literally just went there like 2 days ago. They're going to visit my aunt and uncle in North Carolina, so they just were like, hey, we'll just stop by there. So that was just interesting that they just happened to be going there. Are you familiar with the Biltmore?
I'm not. I used to live in an apartment called the Biltmore in Seattle, but that's the only thing I know of.
Biltmore is like one, just like the most enormously massive houses, like super, super fancy pants.
So fancy.
At the time of the filming, Macaulay Culkin was actually the richest kid in the world. I'm going to put I put a parenthesis next to this. I kind of debate if this is true, but certainly likely that he was the wealthiest kid in the world that had earned all of his own money.
Yes.
Because I'm like,
yes.
There are definitely kids like who had parents that are billionaires. Like, and technically, like, yeah, because Richie Rich doesn't have any of that money. It's his parents' money. So Macaulay Culkin's last, this was Macaulay Culkin's last major film appearance before he had a 9-year hiatus from films.
And then he came back, what was it, with Party Monsters? I wonder if that was his return.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, there was one movie that, like, I actually thought was really good. He's, like, in a wheelchair in it.
What?
We'll find that in a little bit. If you can just search Macaulay Culkin wheelchair.
Tim Macaulay Culkin wheelchair?
Because that's the easiest way to know, like, is the film.
I know.
So Tim Allen was offered this role of Richard Rich Sr., and he turned it down.
Okay.
John Goodman was also considered for the role, and I'm so deeply sad that John Goodman did not play the dad in this film.
That's a bummer.
He doesn't really seem like someone who could play like wealthy very well, but I guess the point was Richard Rich was kind of like, he was rich, but he didn't really act rich per se. Elijah Wood was considered for the lead role?
Which is funny because he and Macaulay Culkin played in The Good Son together.
Oh, really? But yeah, I didn't know what Elijah Wood did as a kid, so like I didn't even know he was like relevant back
then. He was in a super fucked up movie called The Good Son with Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, fun.
Super fucked up.
So between filming scenes, this fact, I don't know what the fuck this even means. Between filming scenes when he first meets the kids playing baseball, it was like early on, Macaulay Culkin carried a coconut on set. Why? What? Why? What does that mean? What does that have to do with anything?
Why not?
Fair point.
Take that logic.
You got it. So anyways, I think that's really all I had to cover on that.
All right, two things. I was right. His next movie was Party Monster, and the movie you're thinking of is Saved, which is a great movie, which came out 1 year later, 2004.
Because that movie, somebody like had me watch that once, and I was like, that movie is actually super dope.
It's very good.
Like, because I remember thinking like, wow, I didn't realize Macaulay Culkin still acted. Mm-hmm. And apparently it was like one of his first movies back. So,
yep, it was good.
So anyways, Richie Rich.
Yeah. And by the way, when you said John Larroquette earlier, I was thinking John Leguizamo, which is
different
not
person.
John.
Yeah,
John
Leguizamo person.
Is not John Larroquette. Mm-hmm. And fun fact, John Larroquette is the father. Well, first of all, he was in Night Court. You remember that. He was in Night Court. His son, Jonathan Larroquette, is the co-host to one of probably my all-time favorite podcast called Oh Yeah, Dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
I know you've had me listen to that before.
Yeah. So yeah, his son Jonathan Larroquette is the co-host to Oh Yeah, Dude, which is my
everything
favorite
is
podcast.
Connected.
Yeah, there it is.
Time
there
is a flat circle.
Time is a flat fucking circle. So Andy, thank you for that. And a quick round of applause again for Judge Varian. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you for the theme for this week's episode. We appreciate it. He's cheering, just like the NFL cheering in the background.
Yes!
So
I am cheering after the Bears. I'm sorry, you guys don't care, but the Bears won today. They did a really bad job, and then they just had this epic comeback to come back
default.
And win. So anyways.
Default.
Anyways, Andy, time to say things. Where to find us? Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court. So if you want to, so let's say you're like, I want to give my opinion on this court case. Just follow us on those things, you silly goose.
It's gonna be that easy.
On one or the other, or both. If you want to double vote, go for it. We don't care. I will note we are now a group on Facebook, which honestly, like, the quickness with which we replenished our, like, we got a lot of followers mm-hmm. very quickly. So thank you again to a lot of the people with my next pick who also basically said, hey, these guys have a group now. So I know a few people joined from there as
that
well.
That was very kind of them. Thank you.
So yeah, check us out on Facebook or Twitter, and we'll have the polls up here soon. Instagram at 90s.court, patreon.com/90scourt, and you could maybe suggest an episode and run the show like our friend Judge Varian. And as always, leave us a nice rating and review on Apple Podcasts/iTunes. We'd really appreciate it.
We super would appreciate that. like so, the most.
Anyways, you guys are all awesome. We love you all so much. Lisa, did you have any parting remarks before we depart?
Don't let the Brickster out of his cell. Don't let him out.
Still haunting. Fuck up haunting.
Here. I'm gonna watch the bad ending again when we're done recording the podcast.
I'm going to look at a picture of Brickster as soon as I'm off the call.
It's so. A nightmare. You will also have nightmares tonight. Enjoy that ending.
Wonderful.
So anyway, thank you guys so much. We'll be back next week with episode 52. Stay chill. That's a thing.
Love you guys. Stay radical.
Bye.